hadn't tried it out, so see how it goes. All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for this time and opportunity to gather. We thank you for your word that we could go in it, knowing that your truth therein is all that we have regarding truth in this world, and that we can just relax and trust in the things that you have for us and the things that you say in your word. Pray that you'd grant me the grace to preach it in the clarity that it needs to be preached in, so all here can see the truth therein and be edified and built up and strengthened in you. Pray for any that have never received Jesus Christ, that they trust in him today, believing that he died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day, and have eternal life. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. If you would, turn to Luke. And look in Luke chapter 15. In Luke 15, real quick in verses 1 and 2, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's the pretty much the legacy that they wanted to pin on Jesus Christ, and the truth is, he did sit and eat with the sinners, and the Pharisees were above that. So from that point on, Jesus Christ starts addressing their attitude towards him with parables. I'm interested in the parable that begins in verse 11. So we're going to read this parable in verse 11. And he said, Christ said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father had killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Now, if I taught this parable doctrinally true, what I would be talking about is the father there is God the Father. The two sons would be Israel, and within the nation Israel, you always had the faithful. The faithful. That would be the elder son. Father, I've always been with you. And then you had the younger son, who is the unfaithful in Israel, who did go after the harlots. And what we're talking about there is the idol-worshipping pagan gods that Israel went after. So when Christ came, he said, I've come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he came to the younger son in this parable. Now that would be doctrinal teaching. And this morning I'm going to kind of break away and take the liberty to preach it as an application in life, our lives. So we're going to read a little bit and I'm going to comment as we go forward. We'll back up verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You can garner some things out of this when you really pay attention to the truth of the story. For instance, you can get this, is that the father is very wealthy. And you know that by the fact that he has hired servants. Wealthy people had hired servants to do the work and the labor. So he had these two sons. There was an older and there was a younger. The younger comes to him and he wants his inheritance. I'm ready to get out of this work mode. I see all this wealth around me. I want what's mine. Let me go. Now the father is pretty forgiving about this because he should have said, Son, if you think work's hard now, I'm going to really lay it to you for making that request. But he didn't do that, did he? He said, okay. So the father gave him his inheritance. Now imagine the inheritance of this young man. The money that he had. The dress that he had. The means of him being carried out. Now it doesn't go into specifics and describe all that, but he's from a wealthy family. And so he leaves out pretty flashy. You know what I mean? He has all the bells and whistles that have him looking good because dad gave him his inheritance. Oh, he's happy. He's happy. He's styling and profiling, as we say. He's got strut to his walk when he walks out the house, right? So he goes out. But look what he does at the end of verse 13. He goes into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He was out of control. And so he took all that he had and wasted it. And look at the end result of where he wound up. In verse 14, and when he had spent all, so he doesn't have now a nickel to his name, a penny to his name, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Riotous living will always put you in a position of want. This world is like a sponge. It always is drawing from you. And if you give in to it, you're going to always be in want. And I think about Christians. I think about those of us that know we're saved. We know we have an inheritance. How many times do the affairs of this life, the bright, shiny things of this life, catch our attention? You know, I think when I read this and I was preparing this message, I was very hesitant on how to say things here. But one of the conclusions that I've came up with is this. I believe that this younger son that wanted his inheritance, I believe to a degree, more or less, we're all like that. I am. I know that. This isn't a preacher pulling the I'm up here, you're down there thing. I'm like that. I mean, I like bright, shiny things. I like new things. I get caught up with looking over here and what the Joneses have over there. Do you? I mean, that's what this guy was doing. Why? Because they labored for Dad. They worked for Dad. You saw the older son's reaction. I've been with thee all this time, laboring in the fields with your hired servants. But he got his eyes set on things around him. And now he wants his cut. He wants his piece of the pie. And I think, how many times as Christians do we get caught up in that? How many Christians today do you think have lost their way? Not their salvation, because we can't, but lost their way because they got so caught up in this world that they didn't have things balanced out. And folks, you got to have things balanced out. We're going to see that in just a minute. So he goes into a far country. And not that he just wasted all his money. If that wasn't bad enough, what happened? It was doubled. A famine hit. So now he's really in a fix. Let's see what happens there. Verse 14. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He's getting a reality check, isn't he? He goes there, he spent all his money, riotous living, then a famine hits. So he's in a far land, and now he's going to a man that's kind of like his dad's situation. He has a field, but he has swine. Now, that might not say much to most people, but the fact of the matter is, in your Bible, swine was a dirty, unclean animal to the Jews. It was unclean. In other words, they were not to allow swine to be in the land of Israel. They were not to eat pork. Oh, baby back ribs. Got to feel for them a little bit, right? And do you know, you ever hear the statement when you're out working and it's hot, kind of like today, and you make the statement of you heard someone say, I'm sweating like a pig? Did you ever consider the fact of why pigs stay in the slop? Exactly. If you didn't hear it, it's because they don't sweat. Pigs don't sweat. So all of their impurities are in their body, in the meat. Did you know that if you went on a charter fishing trip offshore, that the captain would tell you if you catch a shark, you can catch whatever one you want, and he'll keep it if it's within the legal parameters. But he said he would advise you, the only one you really want to keep, if you're going to eat it, is the mako. You know why? The mako shark is the only shark that has a bladder. So all of the waste of other sharks goes out where? Through their flesh, their skin. So it's tainted. Now you can eat them, but it's not the best. Same thing with the pigs, the swine. So to see this man go from a position of having this extreme wealthy father and working there and wanting his stuff now, Daddy, I want it now, give it to me now. He winds up in the field feeding and slopping the hogs. And he reached a point in verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, husk there is an interesting word. Obviously, it has to do with the outer shell of something. In this particular case, when you research it, there's a particular fruit that grows and it has an outer shell. Well, the wealthy people would take the fruit that's inside the shell and they would cook it and eat it and have it. However, the husk of it would go to secondarily people, very poor people that could not afford the fruit of it. They would get the husk and find ways to cook the husk. But the rest of it would be given to the pigs. They could eat it, and that's what they did. And this guy was at a point where he would just, I want to eat what the pigs are eating. That's the point that this man was lowered to. This young man who had it all, took it all, winds up with the swine, feeding them and wanting what they're having. This world has a lot of things out there, folks. A lot of entertainments out there. And you've got to be very thoughtful in your measurement as a saved, eternal saint of God of how you allow yourself to get involved. I've never preached here that you better not touch this, taste that, or go here, or go there. But you need to be measured in the liberty that you have. You see, the thought process that he had came a little late. You know, the light coming on came a little late for this young man. How do I know? The next verses. Let's read them. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And he came to himself. There's a word in your Bible, it appears 8 times in your Bible, that would apply to this process that he went through. And that word is reckon. You know what he did? He reckoned. Let me read you some of the definitions from a Greek concordance on the word reckon. If I can find it. All right. To count, compute, calculate, take into account, or consider. All of those would have been good to put there. Now, the King James Bible said, and when he came to himself, apparently he was thinking this over while he was in the pit with the hogs, slopping them and feeding them, right? He reckoned. It's a little late now to reckon. Not too late, but a little late. I mean, he should have maybe reckoned when he was at dad's. Like, maybe it's not greener grass on the other side of the fence. Maybe it's no better on the other side of the fence. But once again, we're no different than him. We see those things. We buy into those things. And all of a sudden, they become a bit of a snare to us, a trap. And when he came to himself, he reckoned. We use this word with our account, our checking account. We reconcile our account. We weigh out what has been spent, checks out, and deposits in. And we're reconciling, putting them together, making an account that balances out. He needed some balancing out. And many Christians today need balancing out. Sometimes we do get a little heavy on the flesh side. We get a little, I want mine now, on the flesh side. And you know what that really is an end result of? A lot of it has to do with us not focusing in on what we have here now. I mean, the book tells us. It says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, to think that we all, every day that we're awake, we're going to have total focus on things above is not real. It's not. It's not expected by me, and I imagine God doesn't expect it. He would like it, but I don't think he expects it. I think that we do get heavy on this worldly side and very light on the affections above. You know what we need to do? We need to reckon. We need to balance out the checkbook. And that's what this young man decided, hey, I got to balance this thing out. I mean, I'm here with swine. I'm in a far country. And I imagine maybe there was some missing dad about this point. A little homesickness coming in. He's definitely thinking about the food back there. I mean, he was above the hired servants as far as part of the family. But he said, they have bread and to spare, and I have nothing. Nothing at all. So in verse 18, he makes a great conclusion. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Do you see what he's saying here? He has come to a point of realizing that he is so low in life after what he has taken. He is so low in life that he would be willing to go back and be equaled with the higher servants and not as a son. And not as a son. You know what's beautiful about our salvation? Is once we trust Christ, we are always the child of God. We're always the sons of God. Isn't that beautiful? And by the way, check out the process of adoption. Because we have been adopted. You know, when you adopt a child, you can never emancipate yourself from that child when you adopt them. Did you know that by law? Did you know that once you're adopted as a child of God, He will never say, depart from me? Do you realize that there are churches today that are telling their people that if you trust in Christ, you can do something and God will have no part of you? The fact is that once we have trusted in Christ, we can never be lost from God Almighty. This kid was lost. The father said, he's lost. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But we can never be lost once we trust in Christ. What a great love, huh? What a great love. If we let that saturate into our being a little bit, it'll change us. It will change you. It'll change your thought process. So here he's like, I'll go back and I'll just be a hired servant. I'll be happy to be a hired servant. Just get me away from these pigs. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Do you remember when we started this? You remember he wanted all his substance? And dad was wealthy. So dad said, okay, son, if that's what you want, here you go. You remember I described, it's not described here, but what he took out? Oh, man, best of clothes, wealthy people, rings on his hands, pocket full of money. I'm ready to go. And that's how he left out. But when he comes back, what does the father do? Put a ring on his hand. Apparently he hocked him. Put a robe on him. You know a robe is symbolic for royalty in your Bible? Jesus Christ wore a robe. It's royalty. And shoes on his feet. You reckon he didn't look like a mess when he came walking up the hill to daddy's house? Stinky, dirty, filthy, no shoes, hungry, about starved, and willing to be as one of the hired servants. I am not worthy to be called thy son. And you know what, folks? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, us either. We wouldn't be worthy. The only reason why anybody in this world could be a son of God is based upon the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ. Yippee! Bring Gray back in. I need some yippee around here. He felt that he wasn't even worthy after that. You reckon he did some reckoning? You reckon he did some reckoning to come to a conclusion, a thought process, that I'm not even worthy to be your son? Not worthy. So dad dresses him out, but he didn't just dress him out. He dressed something else out. Look in verse 23. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I can tell you that his father grieved from the day that son left and missed that son and knew he was in for a hard life, knew he was in for a hard going in his life that he now wants to have. And yet the father allowed it. You know, it's interesting. God allows us too to get involved in things that we should know better than get involved with. We're all there. Obed used to say this, got one at you, three back at me. I remember those messages. I remember them. They're three back at me. We all do this. And God's not going to stop you. If you think you're going to go off and venture into something and all of a sudden a lightning bolt strikes right in front of you, it may be a climate happening, but it's not God doing it. He's not going to stop you. No more than the father stopped him. So he says, go get the fatted calf. You know, it's interesting. If you go through your Bible and look up calves, the first mention of the sacrifice of a calf, young and tender, fatted, they'd fatten them up because their filet mignon is pretty good. So they would fatten them up. The first mention is Genesis 18 with Abraham. Abraham had the angel of the Lord come visit him. And you know what he did? Go fetch the young, tender calf and dress it. Not put a robe on it, but dress it and bring it forth. And he served the best of the best to the angel of the Lord. You see a parallel here? The father saved the best of the best for the son. Why? Because he went out and spent all of his goods, all of his substance out there and wound up feeding pigs? No. But because he was lost and now he's found. And the father was so happy at this point. Because I imagine he had some tearful nights, some sleepless nights missing his son. And when he came back, it was time to make merry. It was time to make merry. I had a situation here. This was about 4 years ago. Someone who had not been at the church for a number of months, came in. And I was happy. I mean, folks, it gets me happy to see you here. I'm excited. And someone that was with them said, yeah, look what the cat brought in. And I thought, well, that's a great segue to get somebody in the church. Look what the cat, you know what I told them? I said, I like what the cat brought in. I'm happy. I'm happy if someone's left out. For whatever reason. And they reckon themselves. They come to themselves. They weigh out that, hey, I had something special at that church that I took for granted. I took this book for granted. I took the preaching of it for granted. Folks, I tout myself. I promote myself in this instance. You're not going to get the Word of God rightly divided at Walmart. You're not going to get it at the other churches. We got something special here. Thank you. Thought it was just me for a minute. Much learning hath made thee mad, as the king told Paul. So he comes back. And man, they're having a throwdown at the Ponderosa. Who was a chef on the Ponderosa? What was his name? Godly. Man, that was microwaved. Boom, it's done. Hop Sing in there cooking, right? Well, we got to introduce somebody here. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. I thought they were Christians. You see music and dancing, I thought that. I got y'all sedated now. I could say anything and it wouldn't really matter. Bring forth your money. Now you're awake. Okay, I knew there was something that would wake you up. And he called, verse 26. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. I can see the servant. delivering it like that. Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, he had devoured thy living with harlots. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. The older son having a bit of a pity party. It's something we're going to see in a minute that the dad says that balances it out. But until then, I would imagine jealousy rose up in the older son. Because I don't think the older son was a lot different. Different, but not a lot, from the younger. I think the older son, he had a desire to go play. You know, I mean, he wanted to go experience life. Everybody does. I mean, something's wrong if you don't. But he was dedicated and committed to the work at hand for his father, which showed a great love for the father and obedience, which says a lot. So there's some character here. But I think he was jealous. I think he was envious of what the son got and what the son went out and did. Because he says he took all the substance and spent it on harlots and wasted it. And I've been here. I haven't transgressed your commandment. I've been obedient to you. I've worked in the fields all this time. And yet you kill the fatted calf for him and won't do it for me. You won't do it for me. You know, I don't think jealousy is a bad thing all the time. I really don't. I think if it's jealous because you're looking at somebody else having something that you want, yeah, I think jealousy can be bad. I think it can harbor anger, just like this guy. I think it can cause a situation where you have a negative mindset towards that individual. But I don't think it's always a bad thing. With that said, turn to Exodus. Look in Exodus 34. The Lord always had to struggle with Israel going after other gods. In verse 13, Exodus 34, 13. But ye shall destroy their altars and break their images and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Matter of fact, it's interesting to note. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is capital. Proper. He's jealous. So I wouldn't put the word jealous in the sin category. He's envious. He desires Israel's love. He desires them coming to him and him blessing them because of that and providing for them. Paul said, if you turn to 2 Corinthians, look in 2 Corinthians, and we'll come back to Luke. Look in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Well, I don't think all jealousy is bad then. I think when it's a jealousy for the good, I think it's good. But not all jealousy is good. When we go back to Luke, go to Luke 15. When he heard about what was going on, verse 28, and he was angry. That jealousy wasn't working right. That wasn't godly jealousy. And so he begins to give his dad an earful in verse 29. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. So boy, he laid it on his dad, right? I mean, dad, I got to just tell you, you were wrong in all that you did with this, my younger brother. You shouldn't have given him the inheritance. You shouldn't have let him go. And when he came, you never did it for me. I think he has a little bit of a mindset of what's in it for me. You ever have that mindset? Hey, I got something for you. What's in it for me? Well, let's see what's in it for him. Verse 31, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. That's all he had to say. Now I want you to think about it. Envision this. The younger son is back. He already got his cut. He got his inheritance. Now, dad is continuing the process of whatever dad has there, probably some huge farm and animals, obviously. He had the fatted calf, so he's got livestock. Very wealthy, and it's still going on. That wheel of progress is still turning at this family's house. The younger son got his stuff. He already got it. But look what dad tells the oldest at the end of verse 31. And all that I have is you and your brothers. Did you catch it? All that I have is thine. Because you stuck with me. Because you obeyed my commandment. Because you were a faithful son. All that I have now is yours. It makes me think of the verse in Romans 8, 28. Turn there. Romans 8, 28. Y'all are familiar with this. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The Father in that illustration is God the Father. The sons are Israel. That's the older son is faithful Israel who loves the Father. A little reckoning within the older son's mind is, wait. Look what my younger son had. Let me balance this out now. Yeah, he did get all his substance at once, but now he has nothing. And dad just told me that everything he has now is mine. For we know. Isn't it interesting that the verse 28 isn't, for we think that all things work together for good. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I would imagine if he sat down, the older boy, and thought about it, he could come up with the conclusion of this verse. That all of my dedication to my Father, my commitment to my Father, my faithfulness to my Father will pay off. And did you know that God, your Father, has the same promise to you? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That is a promise to reckon with. Think about it, folks, because we're a little bit like the younger son. We go play. We get low on our faith and our commitment. As the song said, He is always there, faithful and true. And He has a promise that the glory that we're going to have is not even going to be a comparable thing to the things that we suffer in this earth. And let me tell you, the younger son that went out into the world, you think he had fun? He suffered for it. He was in a strange land from his family. He was being owned by a landowner who ran a pig farm and then wound up with the pigs and desired the food of the pigs. You don't think he didn't suffer? He came back barefoot, skinny, as a New York model, and broke as the Ten Commandments. Does that help you? He suffered. And folks, I'd love to do like the other preachers and tell you how great and glorious things are going to be in your day. And maybe you'll have a good day. Maybe you have good times. But we're in a present evil world. And we can go out of here with this knowledge that whatever we suffer here is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And we will never have a mindset. It is not lawful to have a mindset that if you've trusted in Christ, God Almighty will say, you're not worthy to be my son. That would go against the scripture and the promise of God sealing you until the day of redemption. God's got you. He is our Father, and He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He will allow you to go out, check it out, but remember, the world says there's always a price to pay, and there is always a price to pay. But you know what the beauty of this is? Is that for Him to get us, Christ paid the ultimate price. And that was His death for our sins. We didn't do anything. We don't have to do anything but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why last week's message was about the only thing you do today is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the work has been done, so what's left? Us to believe. We don't add work to it. It's not like Christ came up short on His workload. He did it, and we're complete in Him. What a beautiful story that is. We're complete in Christ. Put your trust in Him. You're God's son. You will never lose that position with Him. You've been adopted through Jesus Christ our Lord, and God has an inheritance for you that is not even spoken of in your Bible. So it's like someone told me once, if you were God and had all power, and you could create a kingdom for yourself and you had all power, wouldn't you create a pretty cool one? Well, think about it. God has that power and has a kingdom, and the children that we are going to go into that kingdom and inherit it. Be a part of it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the truth of Your Word and that we can count upon it. And that we know that the hope that we have is through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us so that we could have eternal life. I give You thanks and praise for the faith that we have, the Word that we have, and the life that we have. And